We read in the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Rome, "So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature." It is with that intention that we gather together to worship God, to be transformed, and to continue that transformation process to become the people that God wants us to be. Welcome to today's service of worship, whether you're here in person, joining us live online with Zoom, or later during the week. We are glad to be gathering together to worship God. If you are here in person, I invite you to grab those pew pads and pass those along. Take a look at the information in them. Fill those out. If you are interested in the Glory to God hymnal that we have on the screen, we do have some copies at the back. As you come in, you can grab one of those, or at some point you can run back there and grab one. We also have copies of the Common English Bible, which is a translation that I'm using here during worship. Pew Bible is a new Revised Standard Version, so if you'd like to follow along with either one, compare, contrast, or have the same version that's on the screen, feel free to pick up one of those at the back as well. As we gather together today, it is a joy to know that new lighting has been put in here. All the ring lights, which currently are turned off because it gets a little bit too bright Sunday morning with all of those on, have all been transferred over to LED. All of these house lights are now LED lights to save us some money in the long run, as they were slowly dying, burning out. We waited a while, got them all replaced now, got everything realigned. You may have seen pictures. If you haven't, it'll be in the upcoming newsletter coming out, having a gigantic lift in here, going all the way up, changing the lights, even up in the cupola there, 40 feet in the air. Glad I was not the one doing that. It is a joy to have lighting all changed around. We're looking forward to having the parking lot redone as well. That will be started the week of June 10th, is the tentative date that we've been given. So at some point during that week, they're going to be grinding off the parking lot and repaving that to give us a nice new parking lot. So, you know, as the new pastor, quote unquote, I don't know how long I can use that term, but you know, may not be rolling out the red carpet, but rolling out a nice black pavement for me. I don't know. It is good to continue to update all that God has entrusted to us, this beautiful facility, to be able to worship God, to further God's ministries here in so many ways. One of the ways that we continue to serve one another and serve the community is to reach out to find out ways to learn how we can help out our neighbors, neighbors who are struggling in different ways, and to learn more about them. We learned last week about asylum seekers. What's the difference between people seeking asylum and refugees and illegal immigrants coming in? What are all these nuances, and what are the laws to them? Gaining a deeper understanding of that. And today I believe that Mary Ellen is going to be sharing some of the information she learned this past week on mental illness and how that impacts our society. So that'll be happening during the Adult Growing Connections. Being Memorial Day weekend, we won't have the Youth and Children's Growing Connections, but there is a fellowship time. We do want to lift up in prayer family of Ruth Parks. Her father passed away suddenly last night. So Chung Kim passed away. We want to keep their family in our prayers as they grieve his loss. And today, being Memorial Day weekend, I want to take a moment before we begin worship to offer a few important clarifications that I've learned over the years. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. Most veterans will remind us that Memorial Day is not about them. That's what Veterans Day is all about. Memorial Day is to remember those who never returned home to their families. So what began originally as a day to remember those Union soldiers who died in the Civil War has expanded to remember all those who have given their lives while serving our country in uniform service throughout the years. It's also a reminder for us to reflect on the lessons that history has taught us about the price of freedom and our perspectives on it. My father served in Korea. My father-in-law served in Vietnam. Our oldest son is actively serving in the Air Force. And our daughter is part of ROTC and as part of a generous gift from someone from her university. She's able to go along with some other cadets from the Army and Air Force and has been studying in Normandy, France, as we lead up to the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And to see the pictures that she has sent back, to hear those stories. It's powerful. It's humbling to know how many lives died. Why? In some ways, we say it's worthless. We shouldn't do that. And yet in other ways, we know it's necessary to defend our freedom. And what is our freedom as Americans as the world gets smaller? That continues to change as well. What we once thought were just some simple ways to view life as Americans, now in the midst of a global economy, is changing so much. While I have respect and support for those who have or are currently serving, I also have respect and understanding for those who have various viewpoints on war. As a minister, an ordained minister of Word and Sacrament, I need to respect all different perspectives and try to grasp them and understand them. As we gather together here in this place, this is about Christian worship, to worship the triune God. We keep a strong focus on the risen Lord and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Some congregations will entirely rule out all civic connections and celebrations and worship, because they give an impression that maybe we worship someone other than the triune God. Some integrate them together almost too much where the lines are blurred and we don't know, are we worshiping a nation or are we worshiping God? As we worship today, our opening hymn, O Beautiful for Spacious Skies, petitions God. It is a patriotic song, but it is a hymn. It's a prayer that petitions God in each of the verses. It offers prayers for God's grace and Christian brotherhood. It offers prayer for God to mend our every flaw and to give us self-control. It offers a prayer for God to refine what we understand to be success in divine nobleness. And although our sending hymn doesn't include such obvious petitions, it does conclude with a petition for God's protection. And it names God as our King, our leader, the one who is ultimately in charge. As Christians, we need to remind one another of the importance of keeping God first and foremost in our worship, in our lives, the focal point of all that we do and say. The whole of Scripture narrates lessons learned throughout history of keeping God first in our lives. So as we gather together for worship today, on this Memorial Day weekend, let us give our full attention now to the worship of our triune God as the symbolic light of Christ is brought into this space, illuminating our hearts and souls.
Please join me in the call to worship. God of the past, who has created and nurtured us, we are here to give you thanks and praise. God of the future, who is always ahead of us, we are here to give you thanks and praise. God of the present, who is here in the midst of us, We are here to give you thanks and praise. God of life, who is beyond us and within us, we are here to rejoice in your glory and love. God of majesty and power, how awesome you are to us. The mountains tremble, the seas roar at the sound of your name, yet you have chosen to come to us in love and tenderness. You have called us to be people who will act in ways of peace and justice in your world. Open our hearts and our spirits, Lord, to hear your word, having heard, to act in the ministries of hope and peace for all your earth. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Join me in the call to confession. In writing these words, the psalmist David has shown us how to be honest with God and with one another. Search my heart, probe me, God, test and judge my thoughts. Look, do I follow the crooked paths? Lead me along your ancient way. We can express our love for God and our longing to be reconciled with God and with one another as we make our honest confession, remembering God's assurance of love and forgiveness. Loving God, you have called us together to worship you, to remember that in your world, resurrection leads to reign, and to remember that in your love we know, known by the reigning of all, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We gladly gather to sing in prayer, admiring your power and might, proclaiming your love and faithfulness, thanking you for freeing us from the death grip of sin and our individual desires, addictions, and weakness. But as we praise you, we realize that we have failed to follow you. We confess that our worship and our witness do not always agree. Please allow for a moment of silent confession in the silence of our hearts to confess our sins to God. In your mercy, loving God, empower us this morning and throughout this coming week to worship you by following you, to proclaim you by loving your word, to rejoice again and again and worship. Our Savior is ascended and reigning, our Redeemer and our King.
Hear the assurance of God's grace, the good news of the gospel. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. In Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with others gathered for worship.
Our Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 29, page 504 in the Pew Bible and 684 in the Common English Bible. You, divine beings, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord glory and power. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bow down to the Lord in holy splendor. The Lord's voice is over the waters. The glorious God thunders. The Lord is over the mighty waters. The Lord's voice is strong. The Lord's voice is majestic. The Lord's voice breaks cedar trees. Yes, the Lord shatters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon jump around like a young bull. He makes Syrian jump around like a young wild ox. The Lord's voice unleashes fiery flames. The Lord's voice shakes the wilderness. Yes, the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord's voice convulses the oaks, strips the forest bare. But in his temple, everyone shouts glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood waters. The Lord sits enthroned, king forever. Let the Lord give strength to his people. Let the Lord bless his people with peace.
Our second scripture reading today comes to us from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. In the 8th chapter, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it isn't an obligation to ourselves to live our lives on the basis of selfishness. If you live on the basis of selfishness, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the actions of the body, you will live. All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit that shows you are adopted as his children. With this spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The same spirit agrees with our spirit that we are God's children. But if we are children, we are also heirs. We are God's heirs and fellow heirs with Christ, if we really suffer with him, so that we also can be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. invite Jolene to come forward and for the children to come up for children's moment with her.
Yeah, I'd like to invite all the children up. Okay, well, I'm glad you guys are all here today. How many of you are done with school already? No? Still have some school left. Okay, but pretty soon. I don't know if you heard a word that Pastor said several times already today, the word Trinity. That might be a new word to you. Does anybody know what Trinity means? Okay, well, I'm going to try and explain that a little bit for you, okay? You know, I have a sister. Her name is Janelle. And I'm also Janelle's sister. And I'm a daughter because we both had the same mom and dad, so I'm their daughter. And I have a daughter named Heather. So I'm a sister and a daughter and a mother. And I could add a bunch of other titles on there too, but we're just looking at the three different things. And you guys too might only have one or two titles to your name right now, but as you grow older, you're going to have a lot more. And then we talk about that God is three in one. And that can be kind of confusing, but God is the Father, and He's the Son, and He's our Holy Spirit, and yet God is really just one. Okay? I wrote this down. The word Trinity is at the top. Okay? You see that? And then underneath that is the word tricycle. You guys know what a tricycle is?
Like a bike.
A bike with how many wheels?
Four.
No, not four.
Two.
No.
Three.
There we go.
I have one.
Yeah.
I have one.
But a tricycle has three wheels.
I have then, one that three, two wheels are back and one is up.
Well, there's three altogether, right? Yeah. And then the last word I wrote down is tricycle. Or, I'm sorry, is triangle. Okay. What can you tell me about a triangle?
Like two, three T's.
Exactly. Three T's, three R's, three I's. What is a triangle?
A shape.
Like a pizza. It's a shape, like a slice of pizza, but it has three sides, right? So you got the three-sided piece of pizza, you have the tricycle with three wheels, and we have the Trinity, which is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? So that is pretty cool. And if you look at the word Trinity, the tri, the first part that you pointed out, the T-R-I, means three, and unity, or the part of the end of Trinity, means one. So the word is telling us that there's three in one. And we call God by a lot of different names, but does it really matter if we call Him God our Father, or God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? No, we're still talking about the same person, okay? And we have to remember that God is all three of those things to all of us, all of the time, okay? So let's say a little prayer. Loving God, we don't always understand all there is to know about You. We know that You created us and that You saved us and that You love us. We know that we cannot fully understand how great and wonderful You really are. But we thank You for showing us the many ways that You are our God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a Trinity, even though You are still one. Help us to learn more about You and the great love that You have for each one of us, and help us to share that love with everyone that we meet. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's children said, Amen.
Thank you very much, Nora. Ella will be sharing some special music a little bit later in the service today. Thank you to Christina for bringing a couple of her students in here to share their gifts with us in worship. God calls us to share all of our gifts, and what a great opportunity it is to be able to glorify God and to further our worship service. All different ages and all different ways of being able to share those different gifts that God has given to us. Let us turn to God, pray for our reading and understanding of God's word. Lord, allow our spirits to be sensitive to your spirit. Allow all the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, to be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We probably all experienced that time where we enter into a room and we enter into this conversation that's already been going on for a little while, and it just doesn't really make sense of what's going on, and sometimes it's kind of awkward, and we just want to kind of fall into that Homer Simpson meme and just kind of fade back into the shrubbery and go into our little portal, back into our safe space away from our weird Ned Flanders neighbors. And yet we can't. We're right there. We're in the middle of it. And so we need to try to get an understanding. Okay, what are you guys talking about? What's going on here? This really doesn't make sense. And sometimes the people that are in the conversation realize, oh, wait, this is awkward. We need to back up and explain. Here's some of the backstory. That's what we have, in a sense, with today's text prescribed by the Revised Common Lectionary. Our text begins, "So then." These opening words suggest that what follows is based on something that was written before. So when we look back and we read the larger context, the previous chapters, the Apostle Paul has been talking about the life that God desires for us, a life in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this sounds like a perfect text for Trinity Sunday, which is what today is in the church calendar, and it is, and likely reason why it was chosen for today. And yet, in the midst of all of that, there's something that doesn't really make sense. We need to read the entirety of this letter, maybe even a bunch of the other letters that Paul wrote, to gain a full understanding of what Christ means, or what Paul means by living in Christ and living in the power of the Holy Spirit and our understanding of the Trinity. Paul never gave us the doctrinal teaching on the Trinity. That term wasn't even developed for another century after the apostle's life. And the doctrine of the Trinity took a couple more centuries to really get fully developed. So we need to learn. We'd be wise to learn from Paul. Maybe place a little more importance on understanding how we live out our Trinitarian faith, because that's really what Paul is talking about. He's not laying out that academic, intellectual articulation, because as one of my theology professors in seminary said, any analogy of the Trinity is going to fall short. There is no complete way to understand the Trinity. Three persons in one, it's beyond our human understanding. And this need to be able to live out our Trinitarian faith rather than articulating a doctrine of the Trinity, that is the central focus of this passage. What Paul has described is a fundamental dilemma that faces all of humanity. It's that the power of sin living, dwelling within us as human beings, it prevents us from doing what is good, what is right, in spite of our best intentions. We are sinful, broken people, and yet, as Presbyterians, God's grace is what we emphasize first and foremost to pave that way, to say we are under God's grace, and it's because of God's grace that we don't need to be afraid of these sinful parts of our human life. Paul tells us in the preceding verses that the solution to this human dilemma, it's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He writes in verse 11, "If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your human bodies also through his Spirit that lives in you." We have that promise, that assurance. Though the language is thoroughly Trinitarian, it doesn't point to a doctrinal understanding. It points us to that real life-giving power of a godly life. After Paul writes, "So then," springboarding off of all that he's written before this, he continues, "Brothers and sisters." Personally, I like that word brethren. I'd really be a good advocate to bring back that word brethren. Just is more combined together, universal. But he says, "Brothers and sisters." I lost my place here. We are, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but not to ourselves. Now that's how the Common English Bible translates it. You might be more familiar from an older New Revised Standard Version or King James Version, words along the lines of, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh." Personally, I like getting away from that debtors, because when we look at this word obligation, it gets used in many ways. Some, it's an obligation that is a financial obligation, where someone owes a debt to someone else. But yet, here in this context, that original Greek word has more of a social connotation. And that's where I like the word obligation. We have an obligation. It's not a quantifiable debt of actions that we have to do, as if we need to check off boxes that, yes, I've done this, this, and this, so therefore, I'm okay in God's eyes. Or, oh man, I've done this, and this, and this, and this, so therefore, I don't dare enter into the sanctuary, otherwise it's going to just burst up in flames. No, that is not at all what this is saying. It gets away from all that and saying, because of God's grace, because of what Christ has done for us, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to live in that fear. But we do have an obligation. We have an obligation of how we are to be in Christ Jesus. We are to live, Paul says in the opening verse of chapter 8, we are to live as those who are in Christ Jesus. What does "in Christ Jesus" mean? Brings us into another whole debate. There are varying interpretations of what that means. For those of us who are mid-50s or older, we tend to understand it within the societal norms of being a good member of society, to live being in Christ. We've been taught that it has much to do with fulfilling our duty or our obligation to be members of certain congregations. That's important, to be a member of an institution, to have an obligation or a duty to a particular employer who has done so much for us, or fraternal organizations. It's hard for us to realize that generations who came before us and generations after us, they have different interpretation about what it means to be in Christ. And it's hard for us to grasp that. It's painful. It's painful to say, okay, maybe what I've held on to and what I've learned my whole life may not be the best. May not necessarily be entirely wrong, but it may not be as full as it should be. Same is true with so many things in the life of the church. Being Trinity Sunday, I would venture to say that most Christians today wouldn't be able to define, and many, maybe even most, haven't even heard of terms such as modalism, monarchianism, subordinationism, Arianism, Sabellianism. Anybody heard all of those? Know exactly what each of those are? Most of us are probably like, no. We leave that to the ordained clergy. You're to be that trained expert on that one, not us. Wrong. That's one of the flaws of our modern church and one of the failings and one of the reasons that our theology divides us more than it unites us. These are all heresies that were debated during the Council of Nicaea back around 325 AD. And they're all about our understanding to God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. There are three different modes of God. Depends what mode God is in. Sort of like you hop into your car and, oh, I want to go in sport mode today. I want to go in comfort mode today. No, these aren't different modes of God. These are three separate persons. Monarchianism, subordinationism. Well, the Son is subordinate to the Father, and, well, no, not necessarily. All of these human understandings, they have flaws, but there are some that really have significant impacts on our life. And many of these heresies continue to pop up in our world today, and we don't even realize it. It's amazing how many times I look back over things that I've said, things that I've written, and go, oh, wow, how did I not see the heresy in the midst of all of that? Many times with good intentions, these pop up. We refer to the Trinity many times as Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Those are, in essence, the job descriptions of the different persons. There is good reason to try to get away from some of the masculine terminology and be more inclusive, but yet, by doing so, we can also quickly slip into getting away from the three persons of the Trinity that are working together in mystical union. In mystical union, what is that? We don't understand that. That mystical union, it's something that isn't necessarily tangible, physical. Our scientific world, we like to have everything structured and ordered and be able to name it, explain it, teach it. I have a mystical union with my parents, with my children, with my spouse. I'm not directly connected with any of them right now. Spouse and one son sitting here in the room. So, okay, yeah, there's a union. We're sharing the same experience. But our son is in Texas. Our daughter is over in France. Still connected. There's still a connection that's there, but we can't explain it. There are those situations that we're in, those life-threatening situations, sporting events even, may not be life-threatening. Those moments where we are bound together in that experience, there's a mystical union. We have that shared experience. That is what Christianity is to be about. That's what it means to be in Christ and to live out that Trinitarian faith. To be in Christ is to live in the same way the three persons of the Trinity live. They live together in community, each separate persons, and yet joined together in that mystical union. We are not in Christ because of our church membership or even our ability to articulate and defend sound biblical doctrine of our faith. That can be good to give us a good starting point. But we're only able to be in Christ through the power of the Spirit living within us, transforming us into new beings. And we're only transformed into this new way of life by experiencing the death of the sinful, selfish elements of our life and receiving that resurrected life given to us through Christ's death on the cross. Those little death moments in our life where we have to say, okay, I need to let go of what I really held on to as being a powerful truth. And I need to allow it to expand and change a little bit more in order to become more and more like Christ, more and more like an heir to the kingdom of God. That is our obligation. It's our obligation not only for us as individuals, but more so for the thriving full life of us as a congregation and for the thriving full life of future generations of God's people, gathering together for worship and living out this new way of life in Christ. That is our obligation, to live out this Trinitarian life in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit by the grace of God. We need to begin by renewing our understanding of what it means to live out this Trinitarian life. It's more than just a personal relationship with Christ and all about Christ. It's so much more than that. And it's so much more than we can comprehend and articulate on our own. We need to experience it together by sharing our stories with one another and opening ourselves up, being willing to say, you know what, this is my story, this is my experience. It may not be exactly what it should be. And maybe my experience isn't as full as it could have been. What's your story? And when we find where these stories merge together, where they merge with God's story, these three stories merging together in mystical union, that is where we begin to live out that obligation of living a Christian Trinitarian life. An obligation to not check the boxes and to be considered righteous based off of anything that we've done or anything that we are a part of, but only by the grace of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. May we honestly and fervently seek to live out this obligation that we have to be God's people living together in Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're going to sing this next song as a round. Christina will play it all the way through. Then we will all sing the first verse. Then we will start over, and this side of the congregation will sing with me, and that side will sing with Cheryl, and we'll sing verse 1, verse 2, verse 3 right after each other. The one who starts with Cheryl starts a little bit later, as you can see. So just follow us, and it should be good.
Next time we're going to have to do it in a Trinitarian three part. I don't know how we're going to paint. At this time of the service, invite the ushers to come forward to collect God's tithes, our offerings, as we, in response to all that God has entrusted to us, offer back a portion of that in thanks. And may we offer our very selves to be transformed, to become God's people. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all that you have entrusted to us. Take these gifts, use them, multiply them to further your kingdom, and to continue to draw us together in unity to be your people, living out your kingdom here on earth. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn to God in a time of intercessory prayer, prayers for all God's people. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the ways in which you continue to be at work, the ways in which you have been at work throughout all of history. Your ways are beyond our understanding. The more that we learn, the less that we know. And yet, the more certain we are of who you are and whose we are. Lord, in the midst of our lives, we gather together, coming from so many different situations. Some situations of blessing, of joy, of life seeming perfect. Others gathering together with grief, with uncertainty, with sorrow, with fear. Lord, we lift up to you those who are grieving loss of loved ones, especially this day, the family of Chung Kim. We lift up to you those who are mired in the midst of war and battle and conflict. Lord, we pray for your peace. And yet we know that true peace will not come until your earth and your cosmos is completely redeemed. In the midst of this time in between, we ask that you be with those who are also struggling through the uncertainties of health issues, of financial issues, of broken, painful relationships, uncertain of what the future is going to be. Lord, may our hope be in you. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts that we might see the ways in which we have put too much emphasis on our human abilities to be able to control, to manage, to define. Lord, allow us to let go and to truly be held in your hands, to be stirred by your spirit, to know afresh what it means to be living in Christ. Lord, we thank you for all those who have gone before us in this place, in this congregation, who have sacrificed so much for us to be able to have this wonderful facility, to have staff, to be able to have the relationships we do. And yet, Lord, we know that in the midst of all of that, all that we say and do, it is not perfect. But we trust that you use it for your good. That is why we continue to gather together, not because of our perfectness, but because of your ability, your willingness to wash us with your grace and to transform us more and more into your likeness that we were created in. Lord, keep us, save us, protect us from all of the false images, the idolatry that so easily invades our minds and our lives. Allow us to gather together, to share our stories. Allow us to listen deeply and generously to one another, listening for your story in the lives of the others, so that we might learn to listen for your story in those neighbors around us that to us would seem the most unlikely places for your spirit to be at work, and unite us all together that we might glorify you. This we pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Wait to stand for our ascending hymn, My Country 'Tis of Thee. we go out into the world. We go out into this portion of the world that will be remembering those who have given their life in support for our freedom. We go out into this world to be the light of Christ, the light of Christ to the world, not only this world that we are in, but the entire world around us. So we go out into the world. May we learn more and more what it means to live in Christ and how to live out that obligation that we have as heirs to God's throne. May we worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in all that we do. And all God's people said,
Amen.